At this time, kids' classes can be dismissed, so our kids can go to their classes right now. We have three and under to my right, and then the rest up to sixth grade can go out to our gym. And then at this time also, we have two elders and their wives that are over to my left that they would love to pray with you this morning. And so if you would like to, if you need prayers, they are there for you to go talk with, and they will pray over you and your family. We're glad you are here this morning. Todd is at Camp Deer Run this morning to see Pooh and others of our church that are there at Camp Deer Run. And so they are out today. But I am thankful to get a chance to be with you this morning. And as you have seen, we've seen the camera crew float around, and I'm sure they'll continue to float around. I know they'll be out in the gym some filming our children's ministry right now. And so look forward to seeing that video later and hearing more about our campaign as we get closer to that. Well, I don't know about you, but most of us have a plan of some sort. And maybe your plan is not too far out in the future. Maybe your plan is, I at least know what I'm doing today. But you have some, we have normally have some sort of a plan. Now, some of us, our plan is, I don't know what we're having for lunch today. We'll see. I usually just look to Alyssa, and then she looks back at me like, why don't you pick? And I'm like, well, I'd rather you pick. But normally, we at least have a plan to for what our day will look like to at least an extent. Maybe not what we'll eat, but maybe, hey, here's what I plan to do today, or what I think will look like. And then maybe for some, you are planners, and so you don't just have tomorrow planned. You've got next week planned. You've got the next month planned. And not even next month, you got the next year. You're like, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm going to get there. You are a planner. And you've got it. You're ready to go. And for me, I'm probably not that far, but I'm like, I'm in a good direction, and I like this, and I'm going to go this way. And so I might not have it all planned out, but I've got a certain point where I'm like, this is the direction I'm headed. We'll see. Hopefully we stay in this path, but maybe it takes a little curve here, a little curve there, but heading that way. But we all kind of have at least a path that we're thinking maybe we're going. Or we're hoping to go down. But here's the thing. Sometimes there are small, maybe small, sometimes maybe big, knock you on your back, changes in those plans. Interruptions that happen. The path that we're thinking we're heading on, they're like, oh yeah, I like this. God says, I got other plans for you. It's not just a little reroute. It's like, no, we're completely changing directions here. Right? And it becomes a life interrupted because we have a plan and God says, I got something else for you. A few weeks or 2 weeks ago, I think now, it's all a blur because of the experience that we went on. But Alyssa and I got to experience a trip. As many of you know, that I love food. And those who know me, my first favorite love of food is donuts. And then my second is barbecue. And I have been watching and keeping up with the Texas Monthly Top 50 for many years now of just, all right, what are the places to go? And if we're close to one, I'm usually like, hey, can we go try it? And now, not with our kids, because I don't want to wait in lines with them. But at least to go and try to experience it. Just a couple weeks ago, I went down to Dallas. The kids were with grandparents, and Alyssa was on a girls trip. And I was like, oh, I got some free time. So I went to a place in Dallas because I was like, I want to have good barbecue. But last week, Alyssa surprised me with an early Father's Day trip to go to a place called Snow's Barbecue. And Snow's is in a little small town called Lexington. And one of the things about Snow's is they have a lady. Her name is Miss Tootsie. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name. But she is known as the Queen of Barbecue. And I want to share a little bit about her life because her life got interrupted multiple times, and just like the rest of us. But Miss Tootsie, when she first got married back in the 60s, did not know anything about barbecue. And her husband said, "Hey, we're going to open a barbecue joint together." She's like, "I don't know anything about it." She's like, "Well, we'll learn." So they opened a barbecue, her and her husband, and they learned to barbecue. And this is Alyssa and I at Snow's. And that's Miss Tootsie up there next to Alyssa. But she got to learn a little bit about barbecue. And as life went on, they kind of morphed their business, morphed into a meat market and a few other things. But from not knowing anything about it to running a place, she was like, "Oh, we," you know, kind of took a different direction than I think she expected. And then her husband died. And she sold everything and went to become a maintenance person at a school. So Miss Tootsie, again, a little bit of life interrupted. She just had a regular old barbecue place. Then she went into school maintenance. And while she was probably about 67 at the time in 2002, and a guy by the name of Carrie, that's who I'm standing next to, Carrie Bexley, decided to go to Miss Tootsie and say, "I want to open a barbecue place, and I need you to run it." She's almost 68 years old at this time. She's like, "Are you?" I'm sure she was thinking, "What is he thinking?" But he's like, I need you." And so in 2003, they opened up Snow's Barbecue. And within a few years, they became number one in Texas. And before long, people were coming to see just Miss Tootsie. Carrie's the owner, and you would think he's nothing compared to Miss Tootsie. Because it's her pits, and she's running it. And her life went from this, "I don't know anything about barbecue," to running a little place, to school maintenance lady. She still was school maintenance lady while she was becoming one of the top in the world pit masters. You can even find a documentary on her on Netflix. Chef's Table, they do a whole thing about her. But her life was interrupted to now a guy from Denison, Texas, drives down, spends all night waiting just for a glimpse of Miss Tootsie. And not just a glimpse, but to eat her barbecue. And hundreds of people do that every Saturday. She's 91 years old. She still works the pits. But her life went from this very common thing to completely changed, interrupted by a man named Carrie who said, "Hey, I want you to try this. Why don't you get back into the business?" Life interrupted. It happens. We all have had an interruption at some point that we thought we were going one way, and then all of a sudden we get turned to a different direction. We're going to be looking today at a man that things got a little bit interruption. He had a plan. He knew where he was headed. He'd climbed every ladder. He had sought the right things that he thought were important. He had overcome limitations. He had made himself rich and powerful. And then Jesus decided to come to his town. And everything changed that afternoon for Zacchaeus. And who knows, maybe this is your story as well. So let's set up the background here for just a second. For one, we got the road to Jerusalem. Luke places this story very carefully in his writing. Jesus is on his final journey to Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross, and he knows it. Chapter 18 in Luke ended with a blind man receiving his sight just outside of Jericho. Now Jesus enters the city. Every step of these chapters is meant to be and to show you the path that Jesus was on. Wanted to show you the significance of it all. Jesus knew where he was going. He wasn't just wandering. He was on a path. And Jericho was a prosperous city, a major center for commerce. It was known for a lot of different things, especially known for dates or balsam or just being a hub for a lot of different transactions. And so if you were a tax collector like Zacchaeus, that's a place to be. And so Zacchaeus is in the right place. He had positioned himself in this place that was top of the enterprises. And he wasn't just a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. So all the other tax collectors answered to him. And he had set a path saying, this is what I want to do and to be. He wasn't well liked by others, especially Jews, people he was from, his descent. Right? And Luke wanted you to understand that. He wants you to know that he is not liked by other people. Right? But he is very well positioned man. Right? And he had a path that he thought was important for him. And so as Zacchaeus was excluded from a lot of things of his people, but man, he was looked upon highly from others, especially in the Roman Empire, that which he was collecting taxes for. And he made a lot of money. Right? But to his people, he was just an outsider. He'd be considered lost. And some would even say he would be out of the reach of grace. Luke also mentions something that we're going to see, is that Zacchaeus was short. Didn't say that to have comedic relief of any sort, but he wanted to humanize Zacchaeus. He wanted you to know a little bit about him, to see that he was just like the rest of us. Behind all the wealth, behind all the power, behind the reputation, there was this small man that was trying to see over a crowd that had no interest of making room for him because he was an outsider. So let's read these 10 verses, and then we'll jump in to break them down this morning. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not see because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him. For he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all grumbled, and he was gone. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So here's the thing. Interruptions reveal who we really are. We see in verses 3 and 4, it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree, for he was about to pass. Here's what's crazy about this part of the story. And I want you to imagine this just for a second. You can kind of see just what AI can do for picture-wise. You're welcome. Thank you, AI, for graphics. I think this might be from The Chosen. But I want you to think about this. You got a tree. You have a grown man who decides he is going to climb up in that tree. Yeah, he might be small in stature, but he's not a little kid. He's a grown man who had an esteemed job. He was well respected in that type of job, not respected by some. But he was a man that they would look at and say, he's not going to be climbing up in no tree. But he did. Almost childlike actions from Zacchaeus here. That he shimmied up this tree. Right? And that's what exactly what Luke wants us to see is happening here, is that there's something deeper inside of him saying, I got to do something to see Jesus. I've got to do something. Whatever Zacchaeus had built around himself, the wealth, the position, the hardness, something inside said, I want to see Jesus. And not just I want, I need to see Jesus. So much that he was willing to look foolish. That he'd act like a little kid and climb a tree just so he could see him. I've heard this from other ministers before, and you have probably heard this from wise people as well, but a phrase that says, you can always tell what a person really values by watching what they do when no one's looking, or when they don't think anyone is looking. Zacchaeus was fixated on seeing Jesus, that he forgot for a moment to be the person he normally was. He forgot to protect his image. He ran and climbed the tree. He didn't calculate the optics in that moment, which I'm sure that's all his life had been, is plan, calculate this, calculate that, how can I make more money? But in this moment, because of Jesus coming to his town, he said, I got to do something different here. What was inside his heart came out to make him go and seek Jesus. Consider the nature of interruptions for a second. They strip away our careful management of how we appear. And maybe an interruption at 2 a.m., a call that you weren't expecting, or a diagnosis that changes everything, or a message that you weren't quite ready for to spark something inside, say, I think it's time for something to change. Zacchaeus had been managing his life brilliantly, and things were about to change completely for him. So here's a question. Text is already kind of pressing in on this, but what is one thing inside of you that you've been carefully managing, saying, I got to hold on to this. I have to be in control of this aspect of my life. The emptiness, the hunger that you haven't let yourself fully acknowledge. What have you been trying to hold on to and control? Like God's saying, it's time to let me in. And Zacchaeus, he couldn't manage it anymore. And so he climbs up that tree. Here's the other thing. Jesus interrupts on purpose. He had a purpose here. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Place where to be. Right? Sorry, my notes got all jumbled up. Thanks. Good job, Tyler. Here we go. This is everything a part of this story. Jesus did not just stumble past this tree. It was part of it. It was part of the entire plan. He saw Zacchaeus and called him by name. He looked up and said, that's Zacchaeus. Here's the thing. He didn't say, hey, you, which we're really good at sometimes. Hey, you, how are you? I forgot your name. Or he didn't say, hey, tax collector. Or hey, short man in the tree. Called him by name. It was planned. Because when Jesus interrupts, it's on purpose. He had a plan for it. And he didn't just stop there. He says, I must stay at your house today. And the Greek word must right here that he is using, day, D-E-I, carries a divine necessity. Luke uses it in other places where he says, Jesus must do my Father's purpose, or I must be in my Father's house, is the other times that Luke has used this. And so when he's using it here, I must stay at your house today, it's a meaning, a powerful part, right? That Jesus must today. I must stay at your house. But I want us to look for just a second how important the name part is. He didn't just call him, hey, you. But he said, Zacchaeus, you. I want to stay at your house today. I must be at your house today. Names are important. Names are important to you and I. As humans, we value our names. I love it when someone that I've only maybe met once says my name. Like, oh, they remember me. It means something. It means something. There's something in the name. And so I think it means a lot here is Jesus doesn't just say, hey, you. He says, Zacchaeus, this is important. And not just important, but I have to come to your house. And the crowd is grumbling here too. We see it in scripture that they're like, how can you be a guest at this sinner's house? Why would you go there? But Jesus says, this is what I must do. Right? Grace always has a way of offending people who think they know who deserves it best. And all the people watching this are like, he doesn't deserve this. And God's like, or Jesus is like, that's who I came for. This is why I'm here. So Jesus initiated and he sought out Zacchaeus. He came to the place, he looked up and used divine language to insert himself into the life of this man. So here's a question. We're going to see a little bit farther down. But the seeker here, and normally we say Zacchaeus, but I think Jesus is seeking just as much right here. And we're going to see that more in just a second. But first, a true encounter changes what you value. When you encounter Jesus, it completely changes everything, and it did for Zacchaeus. Verses 8 and 9, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give back to the poor. And I have defrauded anyone I have defrauded of anything, I restore four times. Jesus spends time with him. He didn't lecture him. He just spends time with him. And that encounter completely changes Zacchaeus. From what we read, it wasn't, Jesus didn't give him this ultimatum to follow me. You have to do this and this and this. But because of his encounter, Zacchaeus says, I'm going to do this because I need you and I have wronged others. So half of everything he had is gone. Four times over to anyone he had cheated. This was radical because Jesus changed his values. The encounter completely changed him to become a new person. And I can also imagine this was not easy for him, but he had encountered Christ and it changed his heart. C.S. Lewis describes in his own conversion, not as a dramatic moment of decision, but as a gradual thawing, like the slow return of spring after a long winter. He had been frozen in self-sufficiency and intellect and in carefully managed distance from God. And C.S. Lewis writes that, and then in quietly warmth crept in. Things that had been hard began to soften. Things he had clung to began to loosen. He didn't manufacture the thaw. The sun came. And that was what the encounter with Christ does. It's not primarily about the harder, being harder. It is about the sun, S-O-N, coming into our lives and changing it all. Jesus doesn't command Zacchaeus or tell him what to do next. He says, today salvation has come to this house. The declaration comes after the response. But the response flows from the encounter. And here's the question. It raises for you and I. Maybe many of you have known Jesus for a long time. Maybe there's been an actual encounter. Or you have accumulated information about Jesus without ever being changed by him. It's possible to know the story of Zacchaeus perfectly and have our money remain exactly where it is. Or our priorities completely be unchanged. Or categories of worthy and unworthy people judging because of just who people are. Transformation is the evidence of the encounter. Not perfect transformation, not instant transformation, but movement. A loosening, a thawing, and starting the change so that people see Jesus in us. The question isn't only what Zacchaeus gave. The question is, what does your life show about who you actually have met? And that's what Zacchaeus' life started to show. It showed who he had met. And then salvation is the interruption that matters the most. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I want you to see this just for a second. For the Son of Man came to seek. He didn't come to be found by us. He came to seek and save the lost. He's not just sitting hoping that Zacchaeus was just going to stumble upon him. He was looking for him. And Zacchaeus was lost. Not because he was a bad person by the metric of bad people. He was lost because he was living a life arranged around things that couldn't hold him. He was lost because of his wealth and power and position had become all about him. And they became his God. But when he climbed that tree, everything changed. But not just because he climbed the tree, but because God was looking for him. Jesus was looking for him. We see a few chapters before in Luke 15, about the parable of the lost sheep. We see a shepherd who leaves the 99 to go find that one sheep. And a lot of people are like, that seems crazy. Why would a shepherd leave just to go find one? You've got 99. Just take the loss. It's okay. The others will make up that one. But Jesus says, I'm a different type of shepherd. I will leave the 99 to go and find the one. And he shows that here. As all these people are sitting there watching him, the Son of Man came and found the one who needed it. He came to seek and save the lost. Here's what I know. The interruptions in your life, the plans that didn't work out, you've got them. You've got them all. The detours that maybe you resent, the things that have happened, the sin that has held on to you for too long, the failures, they are not what define you. Because Jesus is saying, I want to be the interruption because I came to seek you and to save you. And he wants to call your name if he hasn't already. Many of us in here, we've been called. We have committed our life to him. And I hope that you're not falling away, but you are listening to that interruption. You're listening to that call. Because here's the thing. He says to Zacchaeus, he says, come down. Today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus climbed the tree to get a look at Jesus from a safe distance. Many of us, we kind of like that. We like to be up in the tree and we want to keep Jesus a little bit because we feel like we have control. But that's not where he wants to be. He wants us to come down out of the tree and be with him. And that's what he calls from Zacchaeus. He says, I must be with you. Not someday, but today. So notice that Jesus didn't wait. He didn't wait on Zacchaeus to prove himself. He didn't wait for him to change. He says, it's time right now. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and he still does. This morning, that is an invitation is for you and I as well. Come down from wherever you have climbed to keep safe. And be willing to walk with him. Because Jesus is ready to interrupt your life in a way that makes you give over things that you cherish, but changes your life for the better. And you live for him. Because, as that last part says, salvation has come to your house today. Let it come to yours as well. Let's pray together. God, I know many in here have already accepted Christ. Lord, they've already had the interruption. But I also know sometimes, Lord, we need that little other nudge to get back on track. So, Lord, for those that are hanging on to certain things, things that have started to creep in, Lord, I pray that you help them start to let go. It's not all about their plan, but it's your plan in their life, Lord. And they start to open their hands up to whatever that might be controlling them. Lord, for those who haven't fully met Jesus at all, Lord, I pray you just open their heart today. Lord, that they know that he is coming to seek them, to save them. That he is here for them. Lord, how important it is for us to know, Lord, that you sent your son for us. And so, Lord, as we just seek you, Lord, we know you have sought us first. Lord, let us be a part of that interruption today. And to see that interruption and not ignore it, but to step into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as